The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who's coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Advent is called the season of hope. Hope is what gives us courage to face the difficulties of life. Hope is also consolation, a source of peace and joy in the midst of troubles. Hope is security in God and trust in His promise. That's theological hope. But hope has other meanings, which is a problem. A lot of times, when we use the word hope, what we're talking about is a source of a lot of suffering. Too often, hope is confused with optimism. I hear it all the time. "Don't you have hope?" Meaning an unrealistic belief that things will turn out just fine, just because that's the way I want them to be. It turns out pessimism and optimism do affect our lives, but not in one unique way. Actually, literally, I wrote the sermon, got in my car, drove to the doctor, and when I got out, I had to think about news. Optimists make terrible financial decisions. So this idea that, well, if I'm an optimist, I'm superior to you, no. And I've always said this. Optimism and pessimism, who cares? Realism. That's what really matters. Understanding what things are going to take place. So a lot of times when we say, "I hope," what we really mean is, "I wish." "I hope my team wins." Don't lose hope. Well, actually, most of the teams I support, having hope in them is stupid. The White Sox lost 100 games last year. So that's 100 times for hopes to be dashed. Wishful thinking also leads people to make terrible decisions, to stay in a horrible relationship far too long because they're hoping things are going to get better, to stay at a workplace where things are unhealthy. Because, well, you know, I hope things are going to get better. And, of course, we already talked about finances. But even in our spiritual life, I think a lot of people have been misled by the mercy of God to say, "Well, I have hope. It doesn't matter what I do." Which I'm trying to remember that verse in the Bible where God says, "Oh, it don't matter what you do. Be as bad as you want. I'm on your side." Yeah, never. So with that in mind, I think what we need is a spiritual gift of discernment. Discernment is the God-given grace to know the difference in those times when we must say, "I will not quit." And it's vital. It's vital. At least the men who raised me that way. And I'm a dim reflection of that kind of courage. But this idea, "I will not quit." However, and I'm speaking to man here, the other issue is, I refuse to think anything negative, and I'm sure this will go away, whatever it is growing on the side of my head. Right? And I'm always torn between not wanting to be a sissy and not wanting to hear the words, "Oh, if only you'd come in a few weeks earlier, this wouldn't have been a problem." But it is now. Right? That's what we need, the discernment to know the difference between futility and courage. So I think we have to start with the idea that the world needs a redeemer. And I believe the issues in politics would be solved if we recognize that no mere mortal's up to the task. That hope in a particular candidate leads people to do insane things when the particular candidate doesn't get elected. Or if they do, which is then delusional, pretending like what's going on isn't going on. The Bible says that there will be a human raised up, but it's a king whom God will call. And that's the good news. The gospel message is this: God is coming to rule the world. That's the gospel. When people ask you, what's the gospel? Here's the good news: God is coming to rule the world. The forgiveness of sins on the cross is a big part of that, but it's not the whole deal. We were talking last night. Your sins are forgiven. Unfortunately, you're going to be dead in a few minutes, but don't worry, your sins are forgiven. Is that the good news? At this point, you all say no. Dead bodies having forgiveness of sin is not really good news. Who cares? Resurrection's part of the good news. Transformation's part of the good news. So that's what we gather here to celebrate, that we believe that God will vanquish evil and conquer death, and that's why we baptize babies. Because you're saying, I believe that that's true. And they're already going through the life of being parents, and it's not all... Is it all fun? No. All the time, every minute. Every second of the day, especially at 3 in the morning when you're saying, who wants to do the sheets? Right? Because that's what real life is like. It's filled with beautiful moments and great challenges. And we're waiting for that day. We're waiting. And that's another thing in parenting. You wait for the moment where they can talk to you. You wait for the minute when they stop talking to you. Then you wait for the moment when they start talking to you again. Right? It's a lot of waiting. And Advent is about seeing that not simply as I'm stuck with it in human existence, but it is a gift from God that we grow and develop. I was told we had some stuff happen with Levi. And one of the things someone said is, God gives us children so we know how he feels all the time. How we worry and fret and want the best for him. And it's God's gift to us to know that we end up suffering with them when they suffer, that we end up celebrating with them when they have victories, that that's what life's about. And so when we read Isaiah 61, it's a message of hope. Isaiah does not say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to tell you, feel upbeat. Feel upbeat. Everything's going to be fine. That's not what he says. He says that the Lord has anointed him to bring good news to, and cross out the word oppressed there and also put in meek, humble, poor, suffering, broken. It's not simply being crushed by other people. It's being crushed by life. He tells us to focus on this Spirit-filled Messiah who is anointed to bring good news. And the good news is God's come to heal our broken hearts. And God has come to set us free. And freedom's not just in a jail. Many years ago, as a young priest, I used to go to the prison and do services. And it's really strange to come into a gate with guys with guns. And you know, I can't leave now unless someone lets me out. And it's really strange preaching to people who have done all sorts of things bad enough that they got put in jail. And talking to them and knowing, and I told them once, I said, you can have a choice in here through Jesus Christ to be more free than people running around out there. And they nodded their heads. They didn't say, oh, this is some doofus from outside. They recognized the truth of that. That the truest freedom, the things that really trap us, are things inside of us, not outside. And that's what he's come to set us free from. I've been asked many times by what I consider to be fools who don't believe in God because they said, if there's a God, why is there so much evil? When God's been very clear, I'm handing it over to you. You're responsible. I call them fools because I think it's foolish to blame the person who's your judge. I don't know. We got some lawyers here. Is it ever a good idea to walk into court and say, judge, let me start by saying you're an idiot. And you're really stupid and you don't know what's going on, which is what a lot of humans do. The hope God gives us is one day he's going to come and undo the evil. The bad news is if you're on the side of evil, it's not going to turn out well. I believe that the gospel message is that God is going to take the poor, the weak, the afflicted, the humble, the broken, and raise them up. And that's not just me who believes it. It's the whole Bible message, including today's hymn, which was actually sung today, the hymn of Mary, where Mary takes the teaching of Isaiah and incorporates it into herself. Now, to be clear, Mary sang that song in a traditional society where a pregnant girl out of wedlock was killed. And we don't really think about that much, especially in the Protestant South where we don't want to talk about Mary. Yeah. I'm talking about her next week. But what I'm here to say is there a mother in here who says my relationship with my son is such that there's no connection at all? That you can understand him without any reference to me? Any son who has no connection to his mother? I don't think so. And Mary's connection to Jesus was such that she had to endure great suffering societal because there was always a talk about her. And she had to stand at the cross and watch her son. Her son. And so the Catholic teaching that she is a co-redemptress, I think it can go too far in some people's mind. But to say that she suffered with him in a unique way is absolutely sound psychology. Absolutely. Absolutely. And yet, in spite of what she suffered, she could sing, "My heart magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." In spite of what she suffered and endured, she could say, "God has overturned everything and raised up the lowly and pulled down the powerful." And on this Advent Sunday, we're called to join with Mary to be the people of God. And as a sign of that, the first collection is Outreach for the Poor. If you're a visitor, every cent you put in this collection will leave this church to help the poor and needy.